You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
If you loved about 45 minutes ago, give or take a lie or two, WWBD, what would Bart do? Then in 10 minutes, you're going to love WWBST. Where will Bart send them when it comes to NBA free agents? That comes to you in 10 minutes on Barton Hahn, Bart Scott, Freddie Coleman, in for Alan Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speaker. Before we get to that, always good to bring in Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, who's going to be really sick of me because he's seen way too much of the past couple of days on TV doing First Take. He's here thanks to Progressive Insurance. We're going to start with LeBron James. We talked about, Bart and I talked about 30 minutes ago, LeBron James signing an extension, if he wants to, in August, 2 years, $97.1 million. If he signs that extension, Brian, what does that really mean for the Lakers trying to build this back up?
Well, it means, number one, that they don't have to worry about him going anywhere, although I don't think that's a real concern. I'm just more reacting to the last three times LeBron's been an unrestricted free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Things have happened.
Yes.
Okay?
A little bit.
But I think, first off, I don't think LeBron's made up his mind yet, from what I've been told. That's number one. And, you know, he shouldn't. He can't sign until August. He's got to see what the Lakers do in the next 6 weeks. Second, especially as we're watching what James Harden is doing with Philadelphia right now, where he's lowering his max, spreading out the money overall that he can make, and giving the Sixers an opportunity to put some pieces on that team.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure it's not the worst idea for LeBron to at least leave that option open, because as tied up as the Lakers have been this last couple of years with transactions where their money is spent, their picks are spent, that's going to potentially change next summer. Russell Westbrook's $47 million will come off. He will not be getting an extension.
No, he will not. He'll be getting extended out the building, not extended with money.
And then LeBron, potentially, I think he's at like around $42, $44 million. His could come off too, which LeBron's obviously going to still make a ton. But in that situation, the Lakers would have cap space and potentially able to chase and maneuver around a little bit. And then LeBron could move in. We've seen a lot of guys in the back end of their careers do this. Saw Dirk Nowitzki do this. We saw Chris Paul just do this last year. Now we're seeing James Harden do this. Now, one thing I will tell you about LeBron that I've learned from him, don't speak for his money. So I don't want to sit here and say that LeBron should or anything take less than the max. But that is something that he could do. So if he doesn't extend in a month, I would not freak out if I were the Laker fans or the rest of the league.
You know, Winnie, the biggest news yesterday was Dejounte Murray and the movement and the trade to the Atlanta Hawks. With that move, where does this put the Hawks, and what does that mean for the future of John Collins?
Yeah, so the Hawks paid a huge price for this. I saw some people saying that's all it took to get Dejounte Murray, because Bart, he's 25 years old, all-star, under contract for 2 years at $16 million, which is a bargain.
Yeah.
Like, those guys just don't become available. Not only that, he's a versatile player who is kind of a low-maintenance player and fits perfectly next to Trae Young. Because Trae Young struggles on defense. Here's a guy with great size who you can, you know, if you've got a guard that you've got to deal with, you can put him on that guard and
like,
not have
like Clay compared to Steph with
yes,
Golden State.
It's exactly right. Neither of those guys are as good as Clay and Steph, but
sure,
hey, it's a fun thing to talk about.
I'm just talking in terms of comparison.
Yeah. But listen, Trae Young was 13 All NBA this last year. He's one of the best point guards in the NBA. Now he's got an All Star playing next to him. It's a potential game changing move. And as you mentioned, the Hawks may not be done. They've been involved in John Collins' trade talks for weeks now. They haven't found a deal that they liked. In fact, San Antonio didn't want John Collins in a trade. They preferred Danilo Gallinari, and I'll tell you why in a second. And two, they've got Kevin Huerter and Bogdan Bogdanović, both of guys size who have good value.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if there's room for all three of those guys now that DeJounte Murray is in there. Plus, they've got a guy in DeAndre Hunter who they want to sign to a long-term extension, one of their best perimeter young player defenders. So the Hawks may not be done. But if you will just indulge me for a second to talk to you about what San Antonio is doing here. I know that that's not what a lot of us at ESPN are talking about because we're looking at where the All-Star is going. But just for a moment, let me tell you about this young man from France named Victor Wembanyama. He is 7'3". Mm. He is one of the most exciting prospects of the last decade. Luka Doncic level, I would say almost bigger than Luka Doncic level excitement.
Really?
He is, you know how much people talk about Chet Holmgren?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Last summer in a tournament in Europe, Chet played against Victor Wembanyama. Wembanyama was only 17 at the time. Wembanyama worked him. Now, granted, it was just one day, one game. It was in Europe. It was advantage Wembanyama. I got to tell you something. Like, when I look at some of these young French guys, like, I'm looking at Wembanyama and thinking he's going to be a problem in the Olympics for the Americans.
Right.
You know, maybe not in Paris, but in L.A. So the Spurs are making a tanking maneuver, and they're moving out this guy when he's got maximum value. But really, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 3 to 4 days, guys.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be that the biggest move in terms of guys moving teams, the biggest name to move teams, moved yesterday.
Well, great stuff by Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA Insider, joining us on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. What is the likelihood that Dallas keeps Jalen Brunson?
Zero.
Okay.
You know, this is a big setback for the Mavericks. Not because they don't want to pay him $25, $26 million a year. I mean, you could make a case for me that that is an overpay and that the Knicks are, you know, this is what happens when you want to get something away from somebody else, you pay more.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really fault the Mavericks for not matching the Knicks' offer for Jalen Brunson. I fault the Mavericks for the way they let it get to this point. Jalen Brunson was ready to extend his contract before last season. He was ready to extend his contract midway through last season, and the Mavericks didn't do it because they had other priorities. And frankly, let's just be honest, they misjudged how good Jalen Brunson is. And they let it get to this, and it's their fault that they
right.
let it get to this. And the problem is that the Mavericks are no longer cheap. Luka Doncic was on his rookie contract till last year. It was like he was making like $12 million a year. It's one of the greatest value contracts in American sports.
Right.
Well, guess what? Next year he's making $35, $37 million. He's getting a $25 million raise. Dorian Finney-Smith, who's a really important role player to him, he's quadrupling, I believe, his salary.
Oof.
Or tripling or quadrupling, I can't remember which. But he's going from like $4 million to like $15 million. So they are now much more expensive. They missed their opportunity when Jalen Brunson was making $1 million. Luka was making, you know, a fraction of what he's making, and Finney-Smith was making a fraction because they went all in or close to all in on Kristaps Porzingis and it missed. And so now they're in a position where they've got a good team, but they're hamstrung on their ability to improve that good team, and that's going to potentially be a problem down the line.
Well, speaking of Porzingis, let's talk about his teammate Bradley Beal, who opted out. You know, you talk, is this an opt-out for a better deal, or is this a James Harden type of thing, or is Bradley Beal really going to test the market? And if so, where could he go, and what's his value?
Well, Bart, would you consider a good deal being the biggest contract in the history of the NBA? In the 70, now six-year history of the NBA, because that's what Bradley Beal is about to sign.
Oof.
2 5-year, $254 million. In this case, opting out was good. If Brad had wanted to go to another team, he could have opted into his contract and tried to force a trade. We see that occasionally.
Sure.
Mr. Kyrie Irving attempted that within the last week, and it didn't.
And how did that date in?
That one didn't work. But Brad Beal could have done it. And so one thing I will say about Bradley Beal is he has remained really wanting to make it work in Washington. And so, it just so happens that Washington's where he can get paid the most money. Now, I will say this. This is a risk contract.
Right.
Because Bradley Beal is an all-star, but he is not
a buildable all-star.
He has not proven to be a
superstar.
You know, superstar, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are paying superstar prices for a guy who's a mere all-star. But if he had left, they would have been devastated. So he gets the money for the reward. I got to say, it hasn't always worked out, these big contracts in Washington in the past.
Yes.
They gave Gilbert Arenas this huge contract, you know, 15 years ago.
And he got played hurt. Like Agent Zero.
They gave John Wall, I hate to bring it up.
Yeah.
They gave John Wall this big contract. So they hope that the third time is the charm here. And they did make, in my opinion, a really good trade yesterday, sending out Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, bringing in Monte Morris and Will Barton. That's going to help them. But I look at the Eastern Conference, and there's an arms race. I'm looking at what Atlanta just did.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the other teams that are established. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for them to move up in those standings.
I have to ask about my Pistons because it looked like they're making a jump. Is DeAndre Ayton a real thing? Do they have the money? Are they willing to spend the type of cheese on a taco that would be needed to get DeAndre Ayton over to the Motor City?
Nope.
Damn.
They first off,
you
at least
Christmas
tease me, like, let me down slowly.
They just drafted a center in Duren who's going to be their franchise center, they believe.
And
they just
play.
They just traded for a center, and they already had a center. They just traded for New Orleans as well, and they already had Stewart.
Stewart, yeah.
But they've used the majority of their cap space. And so they still have about $20 million, but it's going to take more than that. And I think there's some indications that they may re-sign Marvin Bagley, who they traded for last season. So, look, Detroit's looking at the lay of the land here, and they know they're not going to compete probably this year or next. So what they did was they traded Jeremy Grant, who you know is more ready to play for a contender now. They traded him to Portland, and they went and acquired two very exciting young players. They obviously had Cade Cunningham, who easily, if he was healthy all last year, could have won Rookie of the Year.
No doubt. He's,
and so
he's
they have right. three or four very exciting young players. And so if I was a Pistons fan, I would be really pleased with where my team was, but I would go ahead and schedule vacation for next May and June. You won't be watching Pistons games then.
Unless it's the NBA Summer League that's been moved up to right. May or June.
Ain't disrespectful, Freddie.
I'm just being real. He's a great follower on Twitter at Windhorse ESPN. Also, pleasure to have Brian Windhorse, ESPN NBA Insider, joining us on Barton Hot. Pleasure, brother. Enjoy.
Anytime, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
You too, my friend. By the way, you're going to get a chance to find out as we go from Brian to Bart in terms of where would Bart send them when it comes to NBA free agents.
There we go.
I like this. A little game show music because it's time for the game show that's going to sweep the nation. Where would Bart Scott send them? Here on Bart and Hahn, Bart Scott, Freddie Cohen, and ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Since XM Channel 80 and your smart speaker. Don't forget the phone number as well to be a part of the game show. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. All right, Bart, we're going to have a list of free agents, and you get to do your little WWBST thing. Where would Bart send them? I know Bradley Beal is going to sign the Washington Wizards, but in your world, where would you send him?
In my world, you know, Bradley Beal, I think he's being stubborn. Nobody's more stubborn than him other than maybe Dame Dalla, you know what I mean, out there. If I'm Bradley Beal, I'm looking for a new place to go. I need a change of scenery. You know, maybe going to a place like Dallas, mm-hmm. you know, you think about having one of the best backcourts, you know, where allow Luka to maybe work off the ball. Bradley Beal's a big player. You're going to lose a guy like Jalen Brunson. A guy like Bradley Beal could be a tremendous upgrade. Spend some of that Shark Tank money. I think they just got picked up for season 20. Uh-huh. Go ahead and, you know, spend some of that cheese.
James Harden looks like he's going to opt out but sign a contract to stay the Philadelphia 76ers. Where would Bart send him?
Well, the beard needs to stay in Philly. I think the best place for him is with people that he know. And Del Murray loves him. He's going to protect him. He's going to make every excuse to make himself right with the deal that he made. So right now, I don't know how long the fans will stay with him, mm-hmm. but I know Del Murray is with him, you know what I'm saying, from the cradle to the grave, so to speak. So, you know, I think Philadelphia is definitely the place for him. Get a little whiz with on his cheesesteak.
DMX reference never gets old here. DeAndre Ayton, we don't know what they're going to do. He's a restricted free agent when it comes to the Phoenix Suns. Where would you send him?
I tell you what, man. I don't know if Dallas is just one of those teams, man, that seem like they need a lot of fits. I mean, I could see DeAndre Ayton, you know, maybe he doesn't really need the ball much. You know, he's a lob threat. You know, you get him in a pick and roll with Luka Doncic. He can do that Clint Capella type of player. Every once in a while, he can pick and pop. You know, the problem with them, they didn't have any rim protection last year. I know they went out and got Wood, but he's often hurt. He's only 6'10". DeAndre Ayton is one of these old school guys like Rudy Gobert that can protect the basket. So I would love to see him maybe go to Dallas. That would be a good fit for me, I think.
If you're DeAndre Ayton, it's really weird how we all talked about he's going to get paid by the Phoenix Suns before last season, and then whatever personality conflict went on, Phoenix is willing to let him walk.
Had a hell of a season, too. He was very vital. Like, he took the next step.
Either way, we'll see. Zach LaVine reports out he's going to re-sign with the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah. In
your world, where would you send him?
My world, Zach LaVine, man, with LeBrick James out there, man, his high flying, they throwing oops to each other. They might throw an oop to each other in the air. Like, jump like you're about to jump, throw it in the air. You think about, you know, Zach LaVine, 24 points a game. You know, he's been injured a little bit, but 4 years in Chicago, he hasn't disappointed. He's healthy, you know, now. I mean, he showed that he has range. He has all-star all NBA caliber, first team caliber talent, man. And,
right.
You know, put him out there with the City of Angels, man. I would love to see him out there with the Los Angeles Lakers.
It is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, 6XM Channel 80 and Smart Speaker, doing a little WWBST. Where would Bart send them when it comes to NBA free agents? We talk about Bradley Beal. We talk about James Harden. We talk about DeAndre Ayton. We talk about Zach LaVine. Jalen Brunson's turn. It seems that he's going to the New York Knicks. Although the Mavs and the Heat requested meetings, we don't know how far that got. Where would Bart send him?
I'll tell you what, man. We can kind of put both of these last two power guards that we have on our list.
Okay.
They fit perfectly in the same place, right? I mean, who needs a point guard? I mean, outside of saying you're not going to send Jalen Brunson to Boston, you know, Marcus Smart would shut that down in a minute. He said we've had all-star caliber point guards, and it's got us nowhere. We got a gritty one, you know, a shooting guard, whatever you want to call him. And we went to the NBA championship. So you look at, you know, Jalen Brunson, you look at Colin Sexton.
All right.
I believe both of those guys should find a place with the New York Knickerbockers and see if they can maybe finally have somebody that can facilitate half-court offense, somebody that can be a floor general, somebody – they haven't had a floor general since Jason Kidd back in the Dizzy when they won 54 games. So, you know, Jalen Brunson, let's see if he can be that, a facilitator, a scorer, be able to break down the defense, you know, drive and kick. Colin Sexton, I see him as the same way. They're the same person.
Okay.
Should go to the same place. Unfortunately, one of them going to be left out in the streets cold-blooded.
Yeah, cold-blooded, but with some money to keep them warm. I'll throw this question at you real quick. Who would you rather have, Jalen Brunson or Colin Sexton? I'd rather have Jalen Brunson.
I'd rather have Colin Sexton. You look at the body of work, you know, Jalen Brunson just got better, you know, this year, kind of like one of these, you know, he ascended, he took the next step. Colin Sexton has been, you know, solid his entire career in Cleveland, which is not easy to do.
No doubt about that. Ask LeBron James not once but twice. Mel in New Jersey at 888 say ESPN, 888-729-3776. Mel, what you got to say on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio?
Hey, I got 2 points real quick. The LeBron legacy. I feel like we really hold LeBron to what he did when he was younger because he was such a phenomenal athlete and we never seen nothing like him. But as he got older, his game matured and grew. And yeah. I feel like he even got better because, you know, the long distance shots and whatnot.
Agreed.
All right, but secondly, right? All right, cool. We talk about the people that's off the court for Jalen Brunson to come to New York. You know, I feel like he got a better chance of winning this shit with Luka, you know, and he should stay with Dallas. Just because they talk about people who's on the court, and I feel like Mark Cuban would continue to try to build the team to get that ring for him.
Yeah, but unfortunately, his daddy's there, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And daddy knows best, or he feels comfortable with his dad and his former agent. You know, agents have unique relationships with their clients because, you know, they're there for all the bad stuff, all the hard stuff. They're there taking all the bullets. So, like, you look at his former agent and Leon Rose being there, he has a sense of comfort and understanding and trust and belief that he can get the job done. And he's probably going to be more adamant to try and make sure that, you know, that they're right and he's right and that everything works out than giving the benefit of the doubt to a franchise and organization that you know, but you don't know if you can trust.
Here's something that Jalen Brunson was never going to have in Dallas that he can have with the New York Knicks, a chance to be the guy.
Yeah.
And he's used to being the guy when he's at Villanova, and he believes in his ability. And plus, the Knicks don't have that alpha dude right now. It's not Julius Randle. It could be RJ Barrett, but he's still too young in his NBA career. Jalen Brunson, Bart, has a chance to do something that a lot of people can't anticipate, but that he's ready for. And that is to be the guy in the New York uniform of the New York Knicks.
And you just hit the nail. You said it right there with the New York Knicks, which you don't even have to be a great player. You just have to be a liked player, a love player, a tenacious competitor. And it is more money than you can count if you're able to be that type of player, especially if you take an organization. And that's what Julius Randle realized. It's nothing like being successful in New York for one of those, you know, heritage franchises. Unfortunately, it's nothing worse when you're not, you know, getting it done because they're going to let you know.
Bruce in Virginia, what do you got to say, my friend?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing today?
We're good.
We give you a lot of love down here at 106.1 in Richmond, Virginia. I've been a Bob Scott fan since can't wait. So let me get it out real quick. Philly has made some moves, man. I think that pickup for the number 23 draft pick for Melton out of Memphis was a huge pick. Now, we just need Dabo to shoot like he shoots when he's on the Australian all-star team, if he starts shooting like that, and we can spread the floor, and we can get maybe, I'm going to throw y'all a curve. If we could get maybe an aging guard from Utah that's on the trading block right now to come in and give some direction to Tyrese Maxey playing that point, and we put the ball in Tyrese's hand more, and we let Harden play off of Tyrese Maxey, and let Tyrese penetrate and kick that ball to Embiid. Hey, man, watch out for Philly. I'll tell you guys, yesterday when y'all was making that call about Golden State getting three out of the next four, that ain't happening, man. That ain't happening. You got too much young blood in this league right now. And watch out for them Grizzlies, and watch out for my 76ers. But I can't wait.
Now, was he talking about Michael Conley Jr.? Was that who he was talking about?
That's he was talking about.
Yeah,
he,
that's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Moving to Philly.
If they're blowing that thing up, you know what I mean? Let's see.
Yeah, I love what he said about DeAnthony Melton, because Ja Morant was sick of losing him. He can be a combo guard that can play off the ball and play the point guard position for Philadelphia and reduce that pressure on James Harden. He's tall enough and lean enough at 6'2 and 6'3. So I did like that move that happened during the NBA draft that not a lot of people talked about, with that 23rd pick getting a guy like DeAnthony Melton. That's going to help your backcourt when it comes to Philadelphia. He is Bart Scott and Freddie Coleman in for Alan Hahn. Thanks for joining us on Bart and Hahn, presented by Progressive Insurance. We turn our attention to the National Football League and wait until you hear who says that this team is a super team in 2022.
Oh, God.
And that team is not Kansas City, Tampa Bay, the Rams, or the Packers. This is ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Hahn.
What is going on with NFL running backs giving all that smoke for two teams that have not been good lately? That's part of Bart and Hahn. Bart Scott, Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, 6XM Channel 80. Thanks to O'Reilly Auto Parts. They are there for all of your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So, Bart, 2 days ago, we had Joe Mixon of the Cincinnati Bengals playing running back saying that we are the hottest team right now in the NFL. And Miles Sanders of the Eagles at running back said, stay away, hold my beer. This is what he had to say about the Philadelphia Eagles when he was asked by CBS Sports what it's going to be like preparing for a season with A.J. Brown on the roster. He said, and I quote, oh, man, we all feel like we're on an all-star team, so we feel great. We feel unstoppable. I'm not going to lie. The vibes are great, always have been, end quote.
Raise your hand if you've seen this one before. Remember the Dream Team with Nnamdi Azikiwe, right? And all those guys, and Vince Young was saying,
hey. Washington's Bull alone now.
we're the Dream Team. Uh-huh. The Dream Team woke up in a damn nightmare because they put that bullseye. Listen, you haven't done anything yet. I can see if you had won something. I give even more credit to, like, Joe Mixon, right?
Right.
Because at least they went to the Super Bowl. True. So you think that you can kind of enhance that, take the next step. But when you went to the postseason and your quarterback played the way that Jalen Hurts played, and you look at how inept that offense looked, you might want to float underneath the radar, right? Now you're going to be, and I listen. I think they have a tremendous football team. Mm-hmm. I think they did a great job, mm-hmm. but these running backs. I hope you're ready to tote that ball 30 times and take the pressure off the other team, because now you know people are going to be gunning for you. So I don't figure out why would you say that. Just because somebody puts a microphone in front of your face doesn't mean you have to say something interesting or clickbait worthy, right? Just you know, be a little humble pie, bro. Why is it always a guy that's not the guy that says that?
That's exactly what I was saying. I mean, no.
Did AJ Brown
Sanders.
Talk about that?
Nope. Did Jalen Hurts talk about that? Nope. Did Jason Kelce talk about that? Nope. Did Nick Sirianni, head coach, talk about that? Nope. It was Miles Sanders.
Yeah, thanks, Miles. Appreciate you. Yeah. Are you even the starting running back?
We'll see when the season rolls around, because they were number one in rushing last year, but 25th in passing yards per game. So we know what's going to have to happen. But the last thing you need is to put more pressure on your quarterback, because, mark my words, they are not going to be number one rushing team in the NFL this year. To your point, Bart, teams are going to load up and say, hey, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, beat us.
Yeah, and not beat us with your legs, that arm holding the football. You're going to have to do that. So you bring in A.J. Brown, you have people. You better hope that that quarterback can consistently get them the football. And I know, last year when you think about it, even though it's his second year, was really his first full year as a starter, new offense, all those things. But if we don't see a ramp up.
And can he deal with the pressure?
Yeah,
because
we'll
guess
find
what?
Out.
They still have draft capitals just in case he doesn't work out. That's why they made those trades, you know, with New Orleans, so that they can have a future two first round draft picks. Because we know, you know, what the landscape looks like next year as far as quarterbacks coming out of draft. So can he deal with that pressure? If it goes bad early, will he falter? Or will he rise up like a phoenix out of the ashes?
Yeah, we'll put it this way, and I still don't believe that they're the best team in that division. On paper going in, I still believe it's the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I think Nick Sirianni's a better coach than Mike McCarthy, because I don't trust Mike McCarthy being a leader of men when it comes to that Cowboys organization. And that can't be easy when Jerry Jones is your owner and you're the coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, he's like a helicopter dad, man. Like, bro, I don't need you to comment on everything I do, bro.
Well, put it, look, if you're Mike McCarthy, you knew what you got yourself into. Mm-hmm. When you want to get back in the NFL, you got to take everything that goes
Sean
with
Payton
it.
Sean Payton is sitting right there. Gus yeah. Bradley, like, yeah, I can take his spot. Kellen Moore, like, I can be the young upstart with the offense. So, like, it's a lot of pressure there, man.
Yeah, Nick Sirianni doesn't have to worry about that, because nobody thought that the Eagles would win four games last year, much less nine games.
Especially after that press conference.
That press conference was epic, though. I can't lie.
Yeah, he's going to live with that forever.
Yeah, but you keep winning, people keep forgetting about it. Same thing with Dan Campbell of the Detroit Lions. Talking about biting off people's kneecaps, but that team played hard each and every week, just like the Eagles did. You win games, all of a sudden, what's the old line from the movie Bull Durham? You're colorful. You don't win games, you look like a fool when you have those kind of moments at the press conference with Nick Sirianni of Philadelphia and Dan Campbell of the Detroit Lions. But I still think going in to the NFC East, the Cowboys are a better football team. That doesn't mean that the Cowboys are going to win that division.
That's true. I mean, I still have the I got Philadelphia as the number one team in that division, just because they're able to run the ball. I think that, you know, losing Randy Gregory is going to be big. And, you know, we'll see if CeeDee Lamb can step up and be the number one. It's easy to be able to criticize and say what you would do if you're the number one. Until you realize that you've been a number one, or you've been, like, the best player on the team, where everybody depends on, they try and take you away. Unless you've done that, you don't realize how hard it is. So let's see if CeeDee Lamb could take over, and it's a smooth transition from one losing Cedric Wilson, who I think, you know, was a tremendous third receiver. But Amari Cooper being gone, you know, puts a tremendous amount of pressure on CeeDee Lamb.
He's Bart Scott and Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us on Bart and Hahn and ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 8 in your smart speaker. Don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at BartScott57, Bart's handle, my handle at Coleman ESPN. And speaking of Bart Scott, boy, did he get plenty of you hot and bothered comparing Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James and putting Kawhi Leonard a little bit in front of LeBron James when it comes to winning championships if he goes down that road. If you want to weigh in, you can do that at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your calls are next.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Bart and Han.
Thanks for joining us on Bart and Han. Bart Scott, that's him. Freddie Cohen, that's me. In for Alan Han on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 8, as well as your smart speakers. Presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart Scott made the comparison when it comes to Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, that he leads the Clippers to a championship. All of a sudden, you got to start talking about him being better than LeBron when it comes to that, doing it in three different places. Toronto, as well as San Antonio, and the Clippers. Joy in the great city of Detroit. What you got?
How y'all doing?
I'm good, Joy. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. Look, I think if Kawhi tied Brown in rings, doing it like in all them places, he can get close, but he can't pass him just on degree of difficulty alone. Brown was down 3-1 against them 73-9. The Warriors, my favorite team. And you can't knock Brown for losing against the KD Warriors. Look what type of teams he took to the finals, and nobody was beating them healthy. And any team Kawhi will possibly beat in the near future won't be another 73-9 Warriors. So it's not because Kawhi ain't good enough. It's just the value of Brown's greatest achievements put him ahead. Because I don't like how people like try to put other players down to lift who they like up. Kawhi still all-time great. It's just, you know, LeBron's is greater. That's it.
Kawhi's story is still being written, and last I checked, Kawhi beat the team that LeBrick couldn't beat.
Hey.
He couldn't beat the Kevin Durant. Now, I know Kevin Durant got injured, but hey, on the resume it still says Kevin Durant. It says Klay Thompson, right? And he beat him, right? He went through Giannis too.
If Kawhi Leonard's able to pull it off, he'll be undefeated in NBA Finals.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's four chips. And you know, let's see if he wouldn't have got hurt last year, they could have won it. I mean, the year before. So
sure,
he's closing the. Listen, and I understand. Listen, LeBron is an all-time great, and we have to see the story play out. I'm just predicting that if this happens, it closes the gap between Kawhi and LeBron James. And ultimately, we have to decide, do we care about the numbers and what you did as far as averaging points and accumulating stuff, or do you care about the championships? Because Kawhi will never catch LeBron in that regard. But impact of in winning and changing cultures and places that traditionally has never won, LeBron doesn't do it to the clip that Kawhi does it with, because you look at the organizations which he went on to try and win those championships.
To Joy's point, people hold him to a higher standard because LeBron James, but also because he's lost more in the NBA Finals than he's won. And people will use that and have used that against LeBron James, where they said you can't compare yourself to Jordan when Jordan is 6-for-6 in the NBA Finals. And when you have those kind of comparisons out there, Bart, then if you fall short, then people are going to punish you for it, even if you are LeBron James.
If Kawhi Leonard is able to win two with the Clippers,
all right,
he will have two with the Clippers,
yeah,
and he won an NBA championship for a country. Don't say Toronto.
Yeah.
He won it for a country.
Canada. Oh, Canada.
And he's the MVP of those two, and if he's the MVP, then he has three MVPs,
mm-hmm,
and one with the Spurs, four.
Right.
Would those four,
okay,
be greater than LeBron's four?
And he believes that is possible when it comes to Bart Scott and the Magic number being four involving Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James when it comes to championship rings. This is Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and your smart speaker. He's Bart Scott. I'm Freddie Coleman in for Alan Han. And we don't need the weather to be hot outside this July 4th weekend. He's got a lot of you hot and bothered one way or the other. What Bart had to say at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You get a chance to respond. Like Johanna, living out in Virginia. Johanna, your turn.
Hey, how are you all?
We're good. How are you?
I'm awesome. Okay, so I just want to say two things. First of all, Bart, I love you and Han. And second, Freddie, you tweeted back to me like 2 years ago on
mm-hmm
Twitter,
mm-hmm,
and it really made my
day. Oh, well, but my
anyway,
pleasure. Thank you.
So,
Fedora Freddy is what
I
we call
it. I just want to say that, Mark, I definitely agree with you about Kawhi, and I'm glad somebody finally noticed that, you know, he has a whole lot of talent. And one thing I like about him is he keeps his head down and he just goes first, you know, and he's not looking for a whole lot of praise and all this other kind of stuff. I really agree with you so much, Mark.
I mean, I forgot who he dunked on in the finals, or he dunked on somebody, and his teammates had to yell at the dude, like, ah! And he was just running down the other side. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the basketball equivalent of Barry Sanders. He mm-hmm just do his work, hand the ball to the ref, and say, you know what, I'll be back, see you again. But he's super talented, he's super young, and you have to just consider the fact that he's 29 years old, and if he's able to win two championships, the LeBron James, let's just say if he wins in the next 3 or 4 years, I think
which is possible, even with the Clippers, but go on.
Right. If he does that, he may get to that feat faster than LeBron, right? Because LeBron's 37 before he got his fourth at like 35. If he gets it before LeBron gets his, he's done it in a shorter period of time and in a degree of difficulty with organizations that traditionally don't win. Like the only organization that LeBron won it with was the Cavaliers, right? He won one with Toronto, right? And if he does one with the Clippers, who's been the laughingstock of the league, mm-hmm. then, I mean, I think you have to start looking at Kawhi Leonard as well.
Maybe Kawhi Leonard could be the guy to make sure the Clippers don't clip, because we've seen that before. When the Clippers clip, it's spectacular when they fail. When it seems like they get close and something happens.
When Lob City and them guys up out of there.
Yeah, exactly. Then all of a sudden, you know what happens? Donald Stern loses his mind, and then everybody's distracted. The Clippers are Charlie Brown on the baseball mound. They throw a fastball, the ball's hit back to them, Bart, and all the clothes fall off. At a certain point, you're the Clippers. You got to find a way to hope that Kawhi Leonard can keep your clothes on and win a championship. Andre in Massachusetts, where do you stand about what Bart had to say about Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James?
Where I stand is, Bart, I like the passion. I'm hopeful that this battle of L.A. can get back to where it was. But we can't compare the man of glass over here to the man of steel in LeBron James, okay? Kawhi Leonard, the best ability is availability, okay? LeBron James has played more playoff games than Kawhi has probably played regular season games. So I can in no way, shape, or form bring him to that level. And LeBron, when we're talking about all-time great, we have to make another distinction, because LeBron is in the conversation to be the greatest. Okay, where Kawhi, respect, all NBA 75 team, respect there. But, you know, we're talking apples and oranges. The thing about Kawhi, he is, when he's out there, okay, he does have that tenacity. He is blue collar. He does, he says what he means rather than, he's about it. He does it rather than talking about it. But he just, the load management piece for me as a basketball fan drives me up a wall. And the fact that he missed the entire last season, that just took him a step back. Now, the Clippers on paper with John Wall, we hope that they could be something. But with LeBron, and back to the Man of Steel, his durability, I don't think we give him enough credit for the consistency, him being out there every single day. So that's why I can't give it to Kawhi. Potential, yes, but LeBron on a different level in terms of being there.
Well, Drake, Kawhi has 8 more years to write his story. What I'm doing right now with LeBron James, just so you guys can understand, I'm putting an exclamation point, because I think it's no way in hell that LeBron James comes close to another championship. Okay. He's going to have a wasted year with Westbrook, and then he's going to be trying to figure out where his next move is. The West is getting better, younger. Kawhi Leonard, like I said, is in his prime. Him and Paul George at 30 years old. You look at Jamal Murray coming back with Jokic, the two-time MVP. That's going to be something. You look at the Memphis Grizzlies. They're going to be coming of age. John Morant's going to get a little bit more seasoning. You look at the Pelicans and what the Pelicans are able to do without Zion. If Zion can be the baby booger that he was before, when he was the point forward, then that causes trouble. Where does this fit? With Golden State reloading, outside of the Utah Jazz, and the Timberwolves are coming. So outside of the Utah Jazz, where would you put the Lakers in front of the teams in the West?
I'm not putting in front of any of the teams you mentioned, but here's something else, and that's why it's very important when August 4th rolls around. Is LeBron going to opt in for that 2-year, $97.1 million extension? Because if he does, he can forget about winning a championship in the next couple of years. And Steph is probably going to get, not probably, he will get the number 5 before LeBron James gets his 5th. I think Golden State has a great chance. I think they're going to go back-to-back. If injuries don't get in the way, they're going to be back-to-back champions. And then they're going to be really renting space in the head when it comes to Steph Curry and LeBron James, who have 5 chips to go at Kobe through LeBron's 4.
Remember, LeBron's way older than Steph Curry, too. So, he's 3 years older than him. So he's been in the league a lot longer than him, because he went straight from high school as well. And if Curry's able to get 5, and you think about 2 of those 5 is beating LeBron James, mm-hmm. then how can you not say that this is the Steph Curry era and not the LeBron James era? Like I said, it's the LeBron James era featuring or brought to you by Steph Curry.
That's like one of the worst movie titles ever if you're LeBron James. The LeBron James era, brought to you by Steph Curry.
Exactly.
Kevin in Reno, weigh in, my friend, at 888-729-3776.
Yeah, hey, I got to agree with Bart here. LeBron James lost against the Dallas Mavericks in the finals. He's lost against Steph Curry, multiple times. And the time he did beat him, it was, in my opinion, a fluke. And, you know, there's a great video of LeBron playing the Spurs in the finals. And then he sees Kawhi about to check in the game. And, you know, he utters a little, "God, nah, we're about to lose again because of this dude." So I think that's all you need to see.
Like for, I told you.
To know that it's the Steph Curry era. And maybe if Kawhi can get a couple more chips. I mean, he won the championship with Kyle Lowry and Serge
and
Ibaka.
Fleet. Yeah.
And then LeBron had D-Wade, Chris Bosh, Kyrie Irving. I mean, come on, man.
See, I wonder how much of that is a newer, later generation that's not LeBron's fans that are siding with you.
It's like Upstein, right? The fact that he reversed the curse in Boston, then went out to the Cubs, right, and reversed the curse.
Right.
All he need to do for to hit for the cycle is to come here and be part of the Mets winning the championship, and they'll put him as baseball Jesus.
He will never have to buy a drink in those three cities ever again. New York, Chicago,
he's already
Boston.
A Hall of Famer because he reversed the curses of those places.
Yeah, and two of those places that people thought that was never, ever going to happen. Who can reverse their curse when it comes to NBA free agency and not messing it up? That's next on Bart and Han on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Han, the podcast.